to the Feng Shui Tribe. My mission is to interview the top experts in the world and introduce you to a variety of Feng Shui tools that you can use to raise your vibration. This free event will feature 24 interviews where these experts will teach you the many Feng Shui tools available to transform your life. You can learn from the comfort of your home and be able to apply them right away. My intention is for you to take these teachings and make changes immediately so you can live the life you've always dreamed of, happy, healthy, wealthy, and surrounded by positive people and places. My vision is to create a more balanced and harmonious world by raising the vibration of the planet with Feng Shui. Through the use of Feng Shui, you will be able to see how your personal space reflects your life and the impact that your surroundings have on you. You'll learn how to alter the energy components of your personal dynamics and its impact on your life. As you raise your vibration, you will also raise the vibration of the people around you. My goal is to reach over 9 million people through Feng Shui to raise the vibration and consciousness on the planet.
Well, hello and welcome everyone to the Feng Shui Tribe. I am your host, Brenny Larson. Many of my clients and students from around the world absolutely love the wonderful tools of Feng Shui. But the question that kept coming up over and over was, where can I find out more information? What books do I read? Where do I find teachers to study with? What are these different schools of Feng Shui? So in 2012, I created and hosted the Global Feng Shui Telesummit. And wow, what a response. One of the main questions was, once again, when are you going to do this again? So here I am as host of the Feng Shui Tribe Teleseminar to interview 24 experts as I continue my quest to get proper Feng Shui information to the world, and you got it, raise the vibration of the planet. So before we get started, there's always two items I would like to cover. First of all, I want to make sure to get the full benefit of this interview that you're on Carol Olmsted's audience dashboard page. All you do is type in your browser address bar, www.fengshuitribe.com/transform, T-R-A-N-S-F-O-R-M. You'll know you're on the right screen when you see the audience dashboard. You'll see a photo of Carol. And then right under the special offer button, you're going to see a place where you can submit your questions. So go ahead and type in your number one question right now that you want me to ask Carol. I will get to as many as possible at the end of the call. And then the second item is Carol will be giving you a free thank you gift just for listening today. And she's going to tell us a little bit about this in just a moment. First, I would like to introduce Carol. She's taught thousands of secrets of using the real world feng shui to rearrange spaces and transform lives of the many people she's assisted. Now, she's here to teach you. She's an award-winning author of Feng Shui Quick Guide for Home and Office, Secrets for Attracting Wealth, Harmony, and Love. She's also presented to a few groups you might recognize, like NASA, Marriott, and IKEA, and is quoted in publications like Cosmopolitan and the Washington Post. Having been in practice for 15 years, Carol is known as a natural for her lively, informative, savvy, and life-changing seminars. Hey, Carol, we ought to have a lot of fun with two sassy and savvy girls on the phone.
Hi, Brenny. I've been looking forward to this. This is a great series of interviews.
Yeah, so we're getting a really positive response. I'm very much enjoying the interaction with our tribe.
Good.
Do you want to let the audience know a little bit about how you began your journey in this beautiful feng shui world?
Oh, absolutely. It's one of my favorite stories to tell. Feng Shui came into my life a little more than 15 years ago. I was a public affairs consultant living in the D.C. area, and a friend was coming over to have lunch. We both worked in our own home-based offices, and she came on over, and she had picked up a book about Feng Shui, We didn't know what it was. We didn't know how to pronounce it. And we looked through this book and we were totally confused. Except one thing seemed quite obvious, that I was facing the wrong way. I was working in what had been one of the bedrooms. It had two windows. They faced the garden, so I faced out the windows. But I was sitting with my back to the door. And the one thing we were able to figure out from this book was that this is considered inauspicious in feng shui. Because when you sit with your back to the door, you can actually and symbolically be caught off guard. Things go on behind your back. And so we turned my desk around. It was still fine. I could still see out one of the windows. I was diagonally across from the door. And we went off to lunch. Didn't think much about it. And then within about 2 weeks, I signed a contract to consult in Hawaii for a week. It was February. It was gray. I went. I did a presentation. This was a fairly standard PR campaign I was proposing to the client. And he said to me, "We want to do more. We might even want to do additional work, but there's one more man who needs to hear that. He's not here right now. Can you stay for a second week in Hawaii in February?"
No!
And told them what it would cost. They did a contract modification, and that was it. Spent most of the time on the beach waiting to do the presentation. Did the presentation. They funded more work. And I was thrilled. I went back to Gray, Washington, and I said, was it the feng shui? You know, really, was there something to this feng shui that made the difference? And so I started studying. I got hooked. I phased out my PR practice, got my certification, and now 15 years later, as you said, I've worked with thousands of clients and students and readers, and it is a lot of fun. My clients invite me into their homes, their offices, their businesses. They show me their stuff. I tell them where to put their stuff, and they thank me. It is a wonderful way to make a living.
And the great thing is you don't even have to know how to pronounce it, and it still works.
But it is feng shui. That is the other question. The three questions that people tend to ask when they find out what I do is, first of all, how do you pronounce it, feng shui? Not so much now, more that 15 years ago. The other is, how did I find out about it? How did I get involved? And the other is, what is it? And I know we're going to talk more about the answer to that question, just exactly what is feng shui and what can it do for you?
Exactly. So what are some of the main issues that your clients are facing?
Well, it's interesting. Every client is different, and that's what makes this so much fun, and that's what makes hearing their success stories all the more interesting and rewarding. But the three main themes that people come to me with are wealth, harmony, and love. And in fact, I made them the subtitle of my book. My book is called The Feng Shui Quick Guide, and it's Secrets for Attracting Wealth, Harmony, and Love. These requests tend to ebb and flow with what's going all around us. For example, after 9/11, I started getting more requests from clients with words like harmony and serenity and security. When the American economy was really booming, there were a lot of questions about how do I attract more wealth. Lately, I'm hearing more about the serenity security questions, but it's always wealth, harmony, and love. And a lot of people asking these days about health as well. I think we're all very challenged right now. As the economy is struggling and some people are struggling, these are the issues that they want some help with. And feng shui does offer some solutions.
Well, you know, I also agree that you've always got wealth and loving relationships or partnerships in feng shui. But the reason I started with health, because without health, the rest really doesn't matter. You can have billions of dollars, but if you're not healthy enough, you know, and also there's a lot of things going on around people that they're unaware of, that a color can change or electronics, as some of our speakers will, you know, be getting more in depth on. So there's, feng shui is getting, you know, more and more known out there. It was 15 years ago, many people didn't even know what it was, like you said. So what makes your feng shui practice unique?
What is different about my feng shui practice is that it is real world practical. It's this Western approach that focuses on the client. When I started to study and looked at different schools of feng shui, approaches to feng shui, I thought, who was I going to be working with? And I realized that some of the approaches to feng shui, while valid, compass school feng shui, for example, were not going to be working for the clients that I knew would be coming to me. And I wanted something that worked around how they really would live in their homes and work in their workspaces. And so what makes me unique is I spend a lot of time finding out about that client. Who are you? What's going on in your life? What do you love about your home, not love about your home? What is it we want to change? And let's make feng shui work for you. Not everybody wants crystals. Not everybody wants red ribbons hanging on things. We want to find out what it is that makes you tick, what's going to make you happy in your home, what's going to make you productive in your workplace, and then we'll make it work for you.
Yeah, I really love the way you stated that, because feng shui is not a cookie cutter. We use a lot of the same tools in the different schools, but each house is unique, each person is unique, the predecessor energy. And when you love your surroundings, like I happen to like things from China, and I do like, you know, red, you know, ribbons and crystals and stuff, but not everybody does. And that's what I think is one of the most wonderful things about feng shui, is how you can customize it to really fit each individual.
And that's what's so special about this series of interviews. Because I like to say that these days there are as many approaches to feng shui as there are to architecture or interior design. Not everybody wants the same style house, and not everybody wants the same furniture. The same thing with feng shui. Now there are lots of things you can choose between, whether, as you say, you like the crystals and you want the ribbons. Some people don't. And some people want something that's a little more spiritual. Some people want something that's less spiritual. And that's what's really exciting.
You know, I just had a question pop in here I would like to read real quick, because it kind of touches upon what we do. It says, when consulting with a business, do you always have to meet the owner, or can you meet with a designated surrogate? And the question would also be, the same about, do you always meet with the owner of the home, or would, let's say, the wife or the husband, would you be able to meet with them?
It's a very good question. When I was studying, I was taught that you needed to meet with all the adult occupants. And so if we translate that to a business, it would be with the owner slash owners. It would be even nice to have the managers. But reality is reality, and you can't always do that. And so over the years, I have learned to work with, typically it is more often the wife, doesn't mean it has to be, but to work with one partner, one spouse, we can definitely make that work. And it's the same thing with the business. If the manager is the person who is on a day-to-day basis responsible for making these changes, has the authority to make these changes, then that's perfectly fine. We, of course, want to make sure that the owner is buying into all of this before we start with any changes.
I actually did a business consultation, and we met with the owner at the end after I had gone through everything with his little team and explained what adjustments we needed and why. He just kind of wanted a recap, mm-hmm. and he really liked it. It worked out really well. He was a real busy guy, and otherwise I think he would have totally detracted, taken away the energy of the appointment, because his team were a bunch of women, and they were really, really taking a lot of notes and enjoying it. So, mm-hmm. you know, I just wanted to throw that question in,
I'm glad you did, and it does also speak to why this practical approach to feng shui works very well for businesses. Because sometimes there is some resistance to thinking about what is it going to look like in my set of offices. And once you can convince either it's the management level or the ownership level that that's not at all what we're talking about, these are more subtle changes, like clearing the clutter, like what artwork is everybody looking at, who's sitting with their back to the door, then you get buy-in at all levels.
I really love when you see the light bulbs go on in people when they start seeing through the feng shui eyes, like they'll just recognize like they've been looking at that picture and it doesn't make any sense, and that was the energy they were bringing into the office. It really is fun and rewarding what we do.
Yeah, I also call it that V8 moment. You remember the old series of commercials for V8 where people used to slap themselves upside the head and say, oh, I could have had a V8. Well, I see that smile. I see that look on people's faces when they get it, that it is as simple, for example, as a single woman who's looking to attract a relationship and all she has around her bedroom is art with single women in it, and we say, wait a minute, you need to put up something that has a pair of people, a couple, something that's romantic, and they do that, you know, symbolic V8 slap upside the head, and it's like, I get it now. That's very exciting, very rewarding.
Yeah, on that note, I had a client like that also, and he had a lonely-looking, not only one
yes.
lady, but it was a lonely, sad-looking
yes.
lady, and that's exactly what he was attracting, all these kind of depressed, you know, needy women in his life. And once again, we just did a simple feng shui adjustment, and bingo, bango, now he's got a family.
Right. And a lot of my clients, single women clients, tend to start out having Georgia O'Keeffe on the walls. And, you know, wonderful artist. You have to respect that. But nothing is more single, solitary female than a lot of Georgia O'Keeffe's images. And, again, we make that point together. I help the client understand that it's not exactly the image that she wants in her bedroom.
Oh, definitely not in the bedroom if you're looking for love, right?
Yes.
So how do you define feng shui? We talked a little bit about it. You know, I think overall the big thing was that everyone thought feng shui meant just moving furniture, which in this series they're finding out there's a whole lot more to it. Could you explain to the tribe how you would define feng shui?
Yes, of course. My definition for feng shui is that it's a design system for arranging your surroundings in balance and harmony with the natural world around you. We are all profoundly affected by our interior surroundings, and when they're blocked, when they're imbalanced, when they don't feel as comfortable as we feel outside, then all of that good stuff that's waiting for us just can't reach us. And so feng shui gives us a system for arranging our surroundings, rearranging, shifting energy, and therefore transforming our lives. And I see this all the time. A lot of times when I do workshops, for example, my favorite part is when we talk about qi, about energy, and I say, okay, name some places you go where you feel wonderful, where the qi feels good. And I purposely don't say specifically that it needs to be an indoor space, and invariably the first person who, you know, volunteers will give me an outside location makes the point perfectly. We all feel better outside, and we need to arrange our interior so we feel good like we feel outside, and that's getting things to move and flow. As you know, the words feng shui mean wind and water. And so I like to describe it as, think of a beautiful May day. It's beautiful in May all over. And you're outside. The trees are full. There's a light breeze. The trees are swaying. If you're lucky, you're sitting by some meandering water, and you feel great. If you're with your significant other, it's really romantic. If you're with your family and your children, everybody's happy. Or if you need to be creative, if you need to be productive, everything is just flowing. That's what good feng shui feels like. Most of the time in our interior environment, our built environment, things tend to be very angular, very straight. There tend to be corners. And the energy, the qi, wants to come in the front door and flow straight out the first window or door it finds, or just hit a wall and falls dead. The goal of these feng shui transformations is to make everything move and flow like wind and water.
Yes, you got that right, meandering. Just when you were talking about the water, I was visualizing, because I live in Minnesota and it's so beautiful, many, many lakes, so we're always around the water. And it's funny because I felt myself smiling.
Absolutely,
that's
and
feng shui.
That's exactly what we want. And that's what a space that has good feng shui makes us do. It makes us smile. It makes us happy. I always explain to clients, you should walk in the door, even if that door is your garage door, and take that deep breath and relax because you feel good. You shouldn't come in through a pile of clutter and say, oh, I got work to do. I got to put the laundry in first, then I got to start the dinner. You should be able to relax in your own space, and then everything you want, this wealth, harmony, love, and lasting health, is flowing naturally into your life.
Yes, you definitely do not want to walk into clutter and work to do, especially if you've been working all day. That is not enjoyable.
Yeah.
You know, talking about the outdoors, that's one of the things I love about feng shui is to spend time in nature and get grounded and enjoy it. And I actually do that because I'm an entrepreneur that works at home, and I make sure to take breaks and to just go out and get in nature, and I find I come back and I'm much more productive. Do you suggest that people take breaks and get in nature? Is that a feng shui thing?
Well, it's always good feng shui to be out in nature. What people can do in addition is to arrange their surroundings, decorate their surroundings with images of nature. I generically call it landscape art, but replacing some of your art with images that make you feel like you're outdoors. Whether it's flowing water, and I always suggest to people to make sure that water is flowing into your space, not out of your space.
Well,
I
want to talk about that real quick because
sure.
We might have a lot of new people to feng shui on the call. And why do you want the water to flow in instead of out? Can you explain that, please?
Water is considered wealth, is related to wealth in feng shui. It's that flow of goodness, abundance, and wealth into your environment. And so I like to position art with water and to make sure that that is flowing in rather than out. So we are symbolically saying that this flow of wealth is coming into my home. I like that especially at the foyer by the entrance door of the house. This image of water coming in, and so it's bringing all that good stuff with you.
I have a little fountain there, and I just love it. When I walk in, and you can just hear the water trickling in.
That is the ideal location for a fountain, is near the front door. And also, you make a good point that you have to make sure the sound of the water, if you do choose a fountain, is pleasing. There are fountains that are tinny sounding. I remember there was one practitioner I used to go to, a health care provider, and her fountain sounded like a toilet bowl. And it was like, no, I don't think that's exactly what we want. Something with a pleasing sound of just this pleasant flow of water coming into your house.
And we would want to make sure to keep it clean. Clean is very important, isn't it?
Yes, and I call that the care and feeding of your fountain. I don't always recommend them, actually, for that reason. They're kind of like having a pet. You have to use distilled water. You have to clean it. I tend to put things in my fountain. I've got pieces of amethyst and a little statue of a Buddha that a colleague gave me, and I tend to keep things in my fountain, and you have to keep all of that clean. And if you're not willing, if you don't feel you have the time, then don't even think about a fountain. Let's do an image of water instead. Lots of options in the kind of feng shui that I like to suggest to people. You always have options. And so if you don't want another pet around the house in terms of a fountain, then let's do images of water.
Yeah, I know there's some people online going, amen to that. I do not want to clean in a fountain. I can just put a picture up? Great. Or a boat?
Right. It's just one more thing to take care of. And then if that's how you feel, then just don't do it.
Always got to love what you do and love your surroundings. That is one of the keys. I'm going to throw another question in just because we were talking about like a garage, and this person has the Bagua laid out there. They use black sect or black hat system. And it says, my garage is in the fortune corner, and I find that money comes in and goes out really fast. I did place intention of gathering wealth daily and hung a colorful fish and a picture of a beautiful waterfall in the furthest corner with the fortune intention. Is there anything that you can recommend for me?
Okay. First, I don't practice black hat, and so I would want to be sure that she's orienting the areas of the house the same way I am. I use a Bagua, which is the mapping chart. You stand at the front door looking in, draw the floor plan of your house, and divide it into 9 areas. The upper left-hand corner is what we call wealth and abundance and prosperity.
That's how black sect does it. I'm black sect certified.
Right, exactly.
The wealth area for her is going to be the same as you then.
Right. In my practice, I don't put water in that area because that's what we call a fire area. I know some of your other practitioners have talked about the five elements, and one of the elements is fire. That's the element that brings in emotion and passion and wealth into our lives. And the upper left-hand corner, that wealth area, to me, is activated by fire. When you add too much water in that area, it can symbolically douse your fire, could put out your wealth. And so I would put fire images there, red things, images that have triangles in them, images that feel wealthy, abundant, and prosperous to you. I would downplay the water in that area.
And a suggestion I would make would be you might want to hang a beautiful wind chime or something outside of, you know, hanging off the eaves or something to call the money back in if the issue is that big door and money seems to be leaving quickly. Being a black sect person, wealth in good blessings in ours is a wood element, so that would be why that person. But once again, that's why we have all these different schools of feng shui and experts explaining them to us.
Right, and
okay.
Wood still works because wood fuels fire. When you think about a fire, what makes it rage on is when you feed it with wood, so that would work as well. Just not a lot of water.
Not a lot of water. Okay, I'm going to take a quick minute here for those that may have joined us a little bit late so we can make sure that they know where your audience dashboard page is. Just simply go to your address box of your web browser and type in www.fengshuitribe.com/transform. And you'll see the words audience dashboard, and then you'll see a photo of Carol. And we will be able to answer questions as we go if you want to input them there. I get them throughout the interview. We do have a lot of questions, but I pick the ones that hopefully will help the biggest amount of people on the call. So you'll know you're on the right page when you see that pretty little picture of Carol Olmsted that says Carol. So she does have a free gift to say thank you for everybody who's listening. And would you take a couple minutes to explain to the tribe what your free gift is?
Sure. I have two free gifts, actually. The first is a copy of my ebook, which is called 365 Feng Shui Secrets. My approach to feng shui is very seasonal. What we do in January is a little bit different than what we do in August. And so this ebook includes, among other things, a day-by-day calendar of tips, things you can do one day at a time to bring feng shui into your life all year long. And so that's one of the free gifts. And my other free gift is a complimentary subscription to my monthly e-magazine, which is called the Feng Shui for Real Life e-zine. And this has a tip. Again, they tend to be seasonal, but there's always a tip. There is the Clutter Clinic. This is a tip about how to use feng shui to get rid of that clutter, which is one of the biggest issues that I find most people face. There's always a success story. That's my favorite part. I get to work with so many wonderful people, help them make feng shui changes, and then they send me their success stories. And it's just so wonderful to share that with the rest of the world. There's a Q&A section, so you can, if for example, you don't get your question answered today during this call, that's another opportunity to submit your questions. And I always include a little something that I call Beyond Feng Shui, which is informative and helpful, and I can see the relationship to feng shui, but sometimes it's just useful information. And that's been going on. My e-magazine has been around for 12 years. It's amazing. And
wow.
I now have subscribers in 68 countries. And so I'm happy to share this with the listeners today.
I like it, too, that it doesn't sound like you bombard them, that you said it's a monthly newsletter instead of like a some people do them several times a week.
No, it's monthly. I know we all just don't have time to read all of the things that come in each week. It's monthly. It does go in depth a little bit more. I promise to use more than 140 characters to explain things, and that's why it's more of a magazine than a newsletter, but not so long that you can't just grasp it.
Well, and then you are helping also so they are not getting clutter in their inboxes, which people save emails that they're eventually going to read, which they probably never do.
Right.
So that's awesome, too. So we're going to tell you in a minute how to get the free gift, but while you're on that audience dashboard page, I want you to find the special offer button. It's big, and it's kind of an orangish-yellow button, and it says special offer. And you will see Carol's special offer followed by the words Carol Olmsted Feng Shui for Real Life Package. So all you do is click on that button, and then it's going to take you to her page for the special offer, which is a 50% discount. Could you let the listeners know the wonderful things that are in your special offer package?
Yes, there are five items in the special offer package. The first one is what I call a feng shui room rescue, and that's a one-on-one coaching session for one room in your home. Brenna, you did send me a few of the questions that came in early, and someone did write with a complete description about an office that she needed rearranged, was having some issues with, much more complicated than we could handle on this phone call. And definitely the kind of situation that I created the room rescue for, because one needs pictures. It's nice to have a little layout, but definitely if I can see the space through pictures, then I can provide more help. I'm always concerned about giving out information without actually seeing some representation of the space. And so that's what the room rescue is. When you have one room that's just kind of driving you crazy, whether it's your bedroom, your office, a family room, that's what this is for. And then I get to talk to people, which is my favorite thing. The second item is a live webinar, and that's called Attracting Wealth, Harmony, and Love with Feng Shui. That's a 45-minute webinar with call-in options. And that's to find out who you are, what do you want to be, what do you want to do with your life, and how can we give you a feng shui roadmap for getting there. Item number three is a 3-month membership in my new online international feng shui community, which is called Feng Shui 360. And that's a way for you to continue to connect with feng shui practitioners and feng shui enthusiasts worldwide. Item number four is one of the training classes from my Feng Shui Institute. My company is called Feng Shui for Real Life, and the Feng Shui for Life Feng Shui for Real Life Institute is my training arm. And this is lesson number one, which is called the 5 Power Principles of Feng Shui. Those are the building blocks of Feng Shui, and after you complete that lesson, that will give you skills you need to start looking at your own home and making some changes. And the last item in the package is my other book, The Feng Shui Quick Guide for Home and Office, Secrets for Attracting Wealth, Harmony, and Love. This book is on Amazon's top 25 feng shui books, and we're sharing the PDF version with everybody. So that's the package.
I love your package, and what I really do love is that the interaction with people, because I'm sure you remember when you first started feng shui, if you didn't have someone to ask a question to, your teacher, you could read a book and be totally confused. And they could explain it, make it sound so simple, and then you could go off and do your thing. So I love what you're doing with the membership and all of that fun stuff. That is really a super fantastic package. Thank you for, offering that to our tribe.
Well, you're welcome. And interacting with people is my favorite thing to do. It's one of the things that's most rewarding about being a feng shui practitioner. And my clients do tell me that I have a way of simplifying this so that they really understand it. I don't think you need to know everything there is to know about feng shui. I don't think your house has to be totally perfect, your office has to be totally perfect for you to get the benefits of feng shui. And that's what this package and all of the services I offer are designed to do, to let you find which aspects of feng shui work for you and to take advantage of them.
So if people want, right now you can click on that special offer button and it will just click add to cart, and the rest is just real simple. I'm sure we've bought online a few things before. You just fill the form in and submit order. Okay, well, let's get back to the interview so we can get more information out to our tribe. So what is one of the biggest problems that your clients face?
That's an easy question to answer. It is clutter. In feng shui, we define clutter as the inability to move forward and postpone decisions. Think about where you have clutter, why you have it, and that tells you a lot about what's going on in your life. In my book, The Feng Shui Quick Guide, the one that they'll get in the special offer, there's a whole section about where you keep clutter, whether it's under your bed or behind a door, and what that means in Feng Shui terms, and then there's a way to deal with that. What I always say to people is that the one guarantee we'll give you in Feng Shui is that nothing new flows into your life until you make room for it. And that's the issue with clutter. When you have, for example, these beautiful bookshelves, but it's book after book after book after book, and there's no room for another book, you're symbolically saying, no new knowledge can reach me. But when we move out some of those books, and I love books, I have to deal with this all the time. I have books, I love books, but sometimes there are those, you know, novels from when you were a sophomore in college that, you know, you're never going to touch again. When we move these things out, and maybe instead of a book, we put a beautiful little statue that you bought on a vacation, it changes the whole energy. It makes more room for things to flow into your life. And it doesn't matter whether you want, whether it's a new job or a new husband, you know, or scholarship money for your child to go to school. When you make room in your home, then those things flow in with amazing results. And a lot of the success stories in my book deal with the changes that came into people's lives when they remove clutter. I did a workshop a couple weeks ago. It was about women, wealth, and feng shui. And the woman who was the head of the group, the president of the group I spoke to, as we started, she said to the group, now I have to tell you, I'm not a believer, but I know Carol, and I wanted to share this with you. Well, it's okay, I have no problems when people say they aren't believers. And the next day, she sends me an email toward the end of the day, and she said, you know, listen to your presentation. I went home, and I cleared the clutter in my office because I figured I don't need to be a believer. I just need to get out the clutter, and that was good advice. And very soon after, she received an email from a company she used to do some training with, hadn't heard from in years. She had sent them some notes. She wanted to do more training, hadn't heard anything, and all of a sudden they write her. And not only do they want to hire her to do more training, but at a fee that was twice as much as she was charging before. And she didn't even have to ask them that. And she wrote, and when she wrote, she said, I think I'm going to start to become a believer. That's what happens when you make space for things to flow.
And it can happen very quickly in feng shui. It may take some time, but it can be a day, a couple of days, a week, you know? So that's what I love. Plus, it never hurts to get more organized. I always think of clutter as like you're a computer and you have to download all the clutter in your mind. You're looking at it when you walk into a house. Like, have you ever done an appointment and you go to someone's house and they have knickknacks everywhere and it's like they haven't dusted or anything in a long time also?
Well, what I suggest to people that have who have big collections, I have a lot of clients who have lovely art collections, and it's all over the walls. And my suggestion is let's take some of it down. Let's put it away, whether you have storage or you rent a storage unit. And then maybe 6 months later, or even a year later, let's change it out. So whether it's the art or the knickknacks, you're constantly changing your collection. Flow, feng shui is all about flow. It's that wind and water flow of things into your life. You get to see everything without it cluttering up your life.
That's brilliant.
The museum, I love that. It's the gallery phenomena where every time you go into a museum or a gallery, you don't see the same thing. Some of it's back in the stockroom, and that's exactly what I suggest to people.
And you appreciate it more, too, when you pull it out and it's you really love.
You do.
Well, I do have a question, long as we're talking a little bit about clutter, I'd like to get in. It says, I'm living in my childhood home, house-sitting for my mother long-term while she's living 9 months on an island in Honduras. Her basement is chocked full of very old relics that she's been holding on to in a fear or lack mentality. She wants me to organize everything while she's gone, and I said I wouldn't throw anything away. I would just organize it. The problem is the energy is so thick down there and oppressive that she hasn't even been able to go in the basement and get started. So how can she, you know, what would your suggestion be to does she need clear energy or just go get started? She wants to help her mother, but physically, mentally, emotionally, she just can't even get started on the mess.
Wow, what an interesting question. One of the things I write about in the Feng Shui Quick Guide is what I call my five-step clutter clearing process. And one of the highlights of this process is you only work 20 minutes at a time. Because what happens and what I think is happening in this basement situation is that the energy is just overwhelming. And some of that might be the reality of it's a big task. And what people tend to do is they say, okay, this Saturday, this is going to be the day. I'm going to do it today. I'm going to get it all cleaned out. And Saturday comes, the sun shines, it is gorgeous. You were out all day, you don't go down that basement at all, and you start feeling guilty, and that energy starts getting even more intense. My suggestion is you work 20 minutes at a time, set a timer, put on a piece of music that runs 20 minutes, pick up an object, decide whether it's clutter or a keeper. And if it's a keeper, in her case, can she find a place to put it? If not, she may want to put some boxes together with the things she wants to ask her mother about. Continue doing that for 20 minutes. The timer rings, the music stops, done for the day. If there's anything that she's upstairs, you know, take the trash, it goes out. If there's anything she's going to give away, call up your nonprofit that you'd like to deal with, make an appointment with them to come get it. 20 minutes a day. The next day, back downstairs, start again. She can go to a different corner of the basement. The whole idea is the short bursts of energy will keep things moving, will keep the task from becoming overwhelming. Wouldn't hurt to do a space clearing down there before she starts. Certainly help lift some of the energy. But I would think that it's the overwhelming nature of the task that may be keeping her from moving forward.
I agree with you 100%. Start small, because look at, if you did it on the weekend, like you just suggested, 20 minutes Saturday, 20 minutes Sunday, let's say, that's 40 minutes a week, and there's usually 4 weeks, you know, in a month, and in no time it's going to be much better looking and easier to get around. I've seen some basements, so I know a lot of people store their excess things, old pictures, you know, that type of stuff, in their basement or their attic. So let's talk a little bit about, you know, you were letting us know about your special offer in that your award-winning book, The Feng Shui Quick Guide for Home and Office, Secrets for Attracting Wealth, Harmony, and Love. Why did you decide to write this book?
Well, again, it goes back to so many clients telling me that I have this way of simplifying feng shui to make it useful and practical. And going back to that very first book that I read that I didn't understand a thing. And so I wanted to get something out there that made it accessible to more people. Plus, I wanted to share these success stories. Again, this is my favorite part of what I do. Sometimes I do a consultation, and by time I get back to my office, there's an email from the client saying, wow, I've already done this, I've already done that, look what happened. And I wanted to share that with people. Plus, there's also a calendar in this book as well. I wanted to give this very seasonal approach to feng shui, because our lives are very different at different times of the year, no matter where we live. And this book let me do all that.
Well, especially seasonal, like I live in Minnesota, the seasons are definitely different from winter to summertime.
Yes.
Little temperature change. So that's just a fantastic book. I love that you put it together. So I want to thank you for that.
And you're welcome.
You know, just to make sure everybody knows where her special offer is, that you're going to be on Carol's webpage for the interview, which is fengshuitribe.com/transform, and then you just click on the special offer button. You can't miss it. It's big and bright. And you can read all about her special offer and take advantage of that. Let's get into some more questions here. One of them has to do with finance, but what it is it says, I'm in a big financial hole due to a hospitalization without insurance. I've activated the wealth corner in each of my rooms of my condo, but the washer and dryer are on the lower level, and I can't move them. I need help fast. Creditors are calling. What can I do?
That was one of the questions you shared with me first, and I'm glad you did. First of all, I would ask, how did this person activate the wealth areas? For me, it's always an issue of you are what you see. I say this over and over again. What did you choose as the cure, as the correction? It should be something that to you feels wealthy, prosperous, abundant. Not what a book tells you is wealthy, prosperous, abundant, not what a feng shui website says is prosperous and abundant. What do you think of? Is it a picture of a dream home that you want to buy? What is it? And so that's question number one. What did you use to activate it? Number two, the issue with a washer dryer. Water, again, represents this flow of wealth and abundance into a space. But with a washer dryer, with a washer specifically, like with a toilet, it's also associated with dirty water and waste. The water is contaminated. And so we want less of that water in your wealth area, and so we want to dry it up a little bit. And how we do that is, again, as I discussed previously, add the fire element, or as you mentioned, add the wood element. If you think about actual water, when you add fire and heat it, it evaporates, you have less water. If you think about real water and you put some wood in it, the wood soaks up the water and you have less. And so the feng shui equivalent is that when you add these elements, you've reduced some of this negative water. So it's painting the area around the dryer red, for example. Or maybe I have people decorating all kinds of areas of their home and maybe hanging a picture of a forest or a pretty woodland scene by the dryer, that washer and dryer. And also making sure it's clean. People have a tendency not to take as good care with their washer dryer area as they do with other areas of their home. And so making sure that lint doesn't build up, it's just kind of a negative feeling, plus it's highly combustible, so we want to get rid of that. You know, you get that soapy residue around where you put in your detergent, and cleaning up all of that, adding a little fire or adding a little wood to really ground it and make it work for you.
That's great. Love it. I have one here. It's about old documents and where to store them. It says, we have old documents stored in two boxes in our garage that relates to my husband's old job. We absolutely need to keep these papers for legal issues. They go back 10 years. The garage is our career knowledge sector. I'm not sure which FAGWA they're using. And my husband has had very bad luck with jobs since we moved into our new home. I feel that we are still connected to it, even if we store it in the garage. That's good.
That's a very good
question. So are they still connected to these bills just because they're in the garage?
These are great questions. Oh, they absolutely are, especially where that garage is located. I say this very often, rent a storage unit, get it out of your home. If you absolutely have to keep it, if you can't just scan them in, first, the best would be if you can scan them in and keep digital records of them, cleans the actual paperwork out of your house. But if you're storing anything that has negative feelings for you, if it's from projects and jobs that didn't work out so good, that energy is still in your home. And so I highly suggest you store it someplace else. And renting a storage unit is the best option. People sometimes say to me, oh, I couldn't spend the money. Well, if it's not worth spending the money on, it's not worth keeping. If
exactly.
These are legal documents you have to keep, there are places that will store documents for you. There are places that will scan them in for you, and it's worth the money to get it out of your house, because it does sound like that just the fact that they know this is in their house is just reinforcing the sense that these were bad jobs, bad business.
Bad, the word bad.
Mm-hmm.
On that note, I have one about where to store wedding pictures that and you're divorced.
Okay. Question number one would be, if you're divorced, why are you keeping your wedding pictures? If you are keeping them for your children, give them to your children because they bring very different energy to them. If you're divorced, they shouldn't be in your house. I would recommend not keeping them. Again, if there are people in some of those pictures that you want to have records of, you could always scan those in Photoshop them, I guess. But I always recommend that you don't keep anything in your home that's related to past relationships, failed past relationships. You're just extending the life of that negative relationship.
Have a shredding party or a burning party.
A shredding party.
Set it free.
I love it.
Here's another one about asking the question. It says, my money area is poverty. I procrastinate. I'm good at getting things started, but I can't finish anything. My love life is nothing. My creativity and motivation and productivity is, I'm just not able to achieve anything. I have low self-esteem, low energy. What can I possibly do to get out of this situation? And I'm not growing. I'm stuck. You notice all the words we're hearing in there? I'm stuck. Low energy. I'm feeling there might maybe a little clutter going on.
Well, that's my first reaction. I think the first thing I would say is stop. Take a deep breath. Try not to get overwhelmed. This does sound like a feeling of being overwhelmed. And what I would do is take a step back and do some clutter clearing. Again, starting slow, working in small spurts in different rooms. But you're just standing in each room and saying, okay, what is in here that doesn't support me? It goes back to this mantra I use a lot, which is you are what you see. What is this person looking at in each area that's pulling down this energy, that's pulling down the self-esteem, that making this person feel like the love life is going nowhere? What's hanging on the walls? Are these old pictures that you just don't respond to anymore? Making more room, getting things cleared out, but little by little. Start in one room. Start in the bedroom. Make sure you're getting a good night's sleep. What's on the walls in your bedroom? What I recommend is artwork that is paired, coupled, romantic. What's in there? A lot of family pictures, much too overwhelming for a bedroom. So little by little, piece by piece, stand back, look at each room with feng shui eyes. How would someone else look at your room? Ask yourself questions. Why do I have that lamp? Why do I have that photograph? Making decisions on what you don't need anymore and slowly clearing things out.
And give yourself a break. It doesn't do any good to get all stressed out and beat yourself up. That's the one thing. The life will do that for you enough.
Absolutely.
You know?
And we all go through these periods. When things just feel like they are at the end, and as you mentioned, clutter is usually the cause of it. You know, what's cause, what's effect, I guess, is the important distinction. But slowly, don't worry, it doesn't all have to be done this weekend. As soon as you start making feng shui changes, your energy shifts. And as long as you keep working toward this clearing, things will be fine. It's if you do one room and then don't do the next room for another 6 months, you may run into problems. But if it's this slow and steady progress, then you'll be amazed at how the energy will start to flow.
Yeah, I've heard great stories, too, of people just going and, like, starting in their kitchen and cleaning one drawer out and realizing they had 30 knives, but, you know, they're never using any of them anyway. That it does do something to help you complete projects. When you open that drawer and you have that feeling of satisfaction that it only took 20 minutes or 10 minutes to do, it kind of motivates you a little bit, especially like you said, new opportunities are going to come in because you're opening the energy up for that.
Right, and I'll make it the feng shui challenge for the day. Tonight or tomorrow, if it's too late where you are, go to your junk drawer, whether it's in the kitchen, whether it's in your office, whether it's in your dresser, and clear out that drawer. Get rid of anything you don't need, the duplicates, and then send me an email in the next couple of days telling me what happened, and we're going to be amazed at those stories.
I love it. The feng shui challenge. Now, what I'd like you to do is, once the recording is up, you go back to Carol's page, which is fengshuitribe.com/transform, and post questions there. And we would love to see the action that you took and the results you got, because there's going to be some good stories coming out of this for sure.
And then I can use them in my monthly e-magazine, The Success Stories.
And I'm telling you, everybody loves stories. They can really relate to when we tell stories. And that's one thing I've got planned in the future, is I want to interview different feng shui consultants and just on stories, success stories they've had, so other people can listen to it while they're driving around and have the light bulb go on. All right, what is the best solution for our home, which is U-shaped with a central courtyard containing a garden? Much of the center of the house is missing. It's quite pleasant to live in, but something is missing. How would you address that? A U-shaped house.
Well, I would first say congratulations. I also live in a U-shaped house, and it is very comfortable. The short way to describe it is, in the approach to feng shui that I practice, we like to, what I call, square up the house. Feng shui tends to like a house that is square or rectangle, because when we divide it into the 9 areas of the feng shui bagua, they're all going to be equal. What's happening is, in your U-shaped house, in my U-shaped house, in an L-shaped house, is an area is missing. And when we're missing one of those areas, whether it's love, whether it's wealth, whether it's health, our life in this house is just not balanced. What we need to do is square up the house. We need to bring those missing areas back in. The courtyard is doing some of that already in her home, as it does in mine. I've got a back porch that does the same thing. Draw the floor plan of the house. Use the feng shui bagua. You can download them from my website, fengshuiforreallife.com. You'll get one. The special offer has in the training program. There's also baguas, but you can get them on my website. And then you superimpose it. You draw the 9 areas of the bagua, and you find the areas that are missing. And you approximate where the walls would come together if this house were a complete rectangle, and you mark that spot. And you mark that spot with something as simple as a beautiful rock that you picked up on a hike, or maybe a wind chime on a stake. The more that cure, we call that a cure, fits the bagua area that's missing, the stronger the cure. So I have 3 of those going on in my house. One of the areas I'm missing is the helpful people area. That's clients and mentors. Happens to be on my driveway. That's a metal area, and I have a round silver spot just painted on my driveway. In the area where the house would come together if it were a rectangle, I keep watch on it. I freshen the paint every now and then, and that anchors my house. It's the same thing she needs to do. Kind of draw a box around the house. Estimate the furthest out wall at each side and form a box around the house. And there's much more about that.
Square. I can tell you all over, because, you know, we do consultations everywhere, and there's no one area that has perfect homes. A couple calls ago, we were talking about split levels, and in the 70s and 80s, they were very popular. So what I want to do now is I want to let the tribe know how they're going to get that fabulous thank you gift. So what you're going to do is you are going to go to the audience dashboard page, which is fengshuitribe.com/transform. And to get the thank you gift, you have to click on the special offer button, and then it'll take you to the special offer page, and you just scroll all the way to the bottom, and you can't miss it. You just look for a box with red dotted lines around it that says Carol Olmsted's thank you gift. You fill in your name and your email, and within moments, you'll automatically be sent the link to her free thank you gift. If you don't see the thank you gift, make sure that you're on the special offer page first, and then you might have to refresh the page. Sometimes people don't have their computers on for long periods of time. So I wanted to make sure they understood that. And like we said, there'll be a 48-hour replay of this, so you can send your friends to fengshuitribe.com/interview, and they'll be able to listen to the replay for 48 hours. Just a quick reminder, if you haven't had time yet, go ahead and take advantage of that special offer. Her package is wonderful. I was looking at it this morning. And boy, there went the hour already. You and I could talk for a long time, couldn't we, Carol? We love what we do.
We could. Thank you so much, Brenny. And thank you, everybody, for listening.
And like I said, please do go out and ask questions and make comments on her audience page, and she will go out there and answer them. I will, and sometimes other experts go out there and make comments, too. Thank you so much. I really had fun, and I appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule to help our tribe with more information.
You are most welcome. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.